Oof, it is time for a haircut.
You and me both, brother. My name is Bill DeYoung, and you are watching the Catalyst Sessions. So let's try pushing that button and see what happens. We're going to talk to Chris Crawford here in a minute, but I wanted to ask this question, and I think this is something that you who are watching, you've never pondered this. It's a 6 degrees of separation kind of question. What does free fall theater have in common with the Beverly Hillbillies? Chris knows. Stay with us and we'll explain that. I have to push this button and go here and do something wonderful just to take the Beverly Hillbillies off for a minute because we'll just keep laughing. I am here with Chris Crawford, who is the Associate Artistic Director of Free Fall Theater in St. Petersburg. He is a Carbonell Award-winning actor who has performed with regional theaters all over the state of Florida and beyond. Now, Chris is a past winner of the Mark Twain Comedy Acting Award. He spent time in Washington, D.C. and completed a fellowship with the Shakespeare Theater and was, in fact, the 2007 national winner of the Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival, Irene Ryan Acting Scholarship. Who's Irene Ryan, you ask? Well, she was a wonderful actress, a beautiful woman, and in her later years, she played Granny on the Beverly Hillbillies. Da-da-da. Between 2008 and 2013, Chris was artistic director of Playhouse Tulsa in his native Oklahoma. His work with Orlando Shakes and the Orlando Fringe Festival is well known. These days, as I said, he's associate artistic director with Freefall Theater Company, where you last saw him on stage in Byron Cellar, a one-man tour de force and one of the funniest things that's been on stage around here in a long time. Looking forward to talking with him about that. He also directed the recent production of The Lion in Winter. And you know what? Like everybody else, he's just sitting at home. Chris. Hey, Chris Crawford, how you doing?
Hello, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
So good to see you there. Listen, when did you discover that you had a gift for comedy? You know, were you one of those joker kids in school and, you know,
that's the crazy thing. I was very quiet as a kid. I was very reserved. I loved playing pretend. Like I loved, you know, putting on shows in the living room for my parents, but I never ever assumed that I was funny.
didn't your parents say, "All right, Chris, it's funny. Shut up." I mean, you're one of those obnoxious kids.
That's more like it. They were like, "Get off the fireplace. Stop dancing around." No, it's interesting. I just somewhere along the line, I fell in love with comedy. I tell people that I went to undergrad and really worked hard in musical theater. And in fact, moved to New York for a little bit, studied musical theater up in New York. And then when it wasn't until I got into grad school that I really fell in love with all different types of theater and comedy, especially, and classical and you know, all different types and styles of theater. That's where it really happened. That's where my eyes were really opened, because up until then, I really didn't do anything but musicals.
Yeah. Was there like one defining moment? You know, somebody would say to me, "Well, it was when I saw Phantom of the Opera," and then somebody else would say to me, "It's when I heard Die Fledermaus." You know, or oh my God, when I saw The Sound of Music, I thought, I want to do that. I mean, was there one defining moment for you?
Yeah, and it's funny. Speaking of free fall connections, it was a production of Pippin. I saw a production of Pippin when back in probably 2001, 2002. I was so taken back. I was raised in a very conservative household in Oklahoma. So, and Pippin is a very racy show. And taken back, and I was like, maybe I should leave. Maybe I should, you know. And I stayed through the end, and I looked around and I watched people around me reacting. And I was myself sobbing because I was so moved. Uh-huh. And I got up and I thought, if I can make one person feel the way that I feel right now, then my life has meant something. And and from then on, it was storytelling and theater and performing.
There's never really been anything else for you. You know, it's like, I'm going to be a fireman. No, theater.
No, yeah, no, no, there's never really been anything else. I've done a lot of things around theater. I started and ran my own company, and I've been a teacher for a while. But my life is just circled around it.
I want to bring up a photo if I can make it work, and I bet I can.
It's about to get exciting.
Yeah, well, let's hope, advanced. Is that what I want? Okay. Well, you know what? If I can't figure it out, I can't figure it out. But I wanted to ask you about the work you did in Orlando. I'll get to this in a minute, I think. Oh, you know what? Was it this button? Oh, never mind. Okay. Well, listen, I have photos from some of the shows you did in Orlando with Orlando Shakes. Mm-hmm. I guess I should ask, how did you get to Florida? What, you know, you're all over the place and suddenly you're here.
Yeah, it's been a crazy journey. I was running my theater company in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and yeah. I got a call from Matt Chiarini, who was at the time the artistic director at Arkansas Shakes in Conway, Arkansas, and he said, "Hey, we're doing a show at American Stage called The Foreigner. I would love for you to come and play Charlie, the foreigner, in The Foreigner." And a few of my pals from Arkansas Shakes were going to do it, Grayson Lewis, Dan Matissa. And so I was like, yeah, of course, I'll come to
American Stage down here, you're talking about.
Same yeah, thing. American yeah, Stage, yeah. Yeah, just down the street, yeah. And yeah. And so I came and had an amazing summer here. And while I was here, I heard that Free Fall Theater was doing a production of Cabaret at the same time. So I went with the rest of the cast to see Cabaret. And the cast of The Foreigner to see the Cabaret. And after the show was over, I thought, I must work here. I must work at this place. And I set up an audition 2 days later for the following season. And I booked 3 roles. And I thought, well, why not make the move?
But you moved to Orlando.
I did. I have a lot of, my puppies are, they're anxiously wanting to meet everybody. This is Margot.
All right.
And this is Todd. Hi, Todd.
Margo and Todd.
Todd was adopted at Free Fall, closing night of Peter Pan. Anyway, that's enough. I had a lot of good friends. I did a Christmas Carol at Free Fall, and Laura Hodos was in that show. And I was talking to her one day, and I said, "Hey, if I move to Florida, can I make it as an actor in Florida?" And she said, "Oh yeah." She said, "You'll work all the time, but you'll drive everywhere." So I thought at the time that it was the best decision to move to Orlando because it was so centrally located and I could get to St. Pete, I could get to Miami, I could get to wherever I needed to get to.
Yeah. Did you work at Disney or Universal or any of those places? Or do you
I still? Did. I was a contracted performer at Universal Studios for 6 years.
Doing what? I mean, were you were like Marty McFly one day? And,
I wish. No.
Charlie Chaplin the next.
No, I did several different things. I'm gonna have to turn on a different light here. Looks like I'm getting a little dark. 1 second.
Okay. Well, while you're doing that, I'm gonna figure out how to make these photographs work. Yeah. So, same to you.
But yeah, so I did, while I was at Universal, I did 5 different shows on property. Mm-hmm. So I was the director.
Sure, like in theater. So, okay.
Yeah. There's a little song and dance show, Marilyn Monroe show, that I was this quirky 1950s director type that just kind of popped up on the street. I did Tales of Beetle the Bard, which happens in Diagon Alley. I did a few shows. I hosted a acapella singing competition. It was a good time, and that's what I did until I moved here to start this gig at Free Fall.
Isn't it hard to make a living as an actor though?
Well, yeah.
I ask people this a lot. I mean, were you waiting tables a lot or working in the Verizon store by day or something?
Luckily, because of Universal, I was able to perform full time. It wasn't. That's
right. Oh, too much light.
It wasn't until. We're trying to adjust my lighting here. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but thanks to Universal, I really didn't have to do any side jobs. That was enough of a full-time job. But yeah, it's hard to make a living as an actor. Florida is spectacular because it's got such a wonderful regional base. There's so many theaters in Florida, so you can really work all the time in Florida if you put in the miles. But yeah, it's what I found was because different small professional theaters or Lort theaters like we have in Florida have varying pay scales. And so you'd be making a really stellar paycheck, you know, for 6 weeks. And then for the next 6 weeks, you're not making as great a paycheck
right.
than the right. show right. you love. Yes. And so you know, so it's a budgeting nightmare to be an actor, but
you save up on the canned vegetables for those lean periods.
Exactly.
I think I have this figured out. Let's try
okay.
that.
Oh,
okay. I think we're looking.
There she is.
We're looking at the Mystery of Irma Vep at Orlando Shakes. Tell me about this show. I've seen a series of photos, and I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah,
I've never seen it. I want to know what we're looking at.
It's a Penny Dreadful. It's a quick change farce. It has werewolves and vampires and all sorts of crazy characters. But that right there in that picture, that's Brad DePlanche, who is brilliant. People in St. Pete might recognize him. He was in American Stage in the Parks, Spamalot with me.
Oh yeah. Oh, you were, tell me again your character's name.
Prince Herbert.
Prince Herbert.
The curtains. Yeah,
that's right. I feel like singing.
I want to sing.
Yeah, okay. And this is you in the French maid's uniform.
And this is me dressed, looking my best in a French maid's uniform. This is Jane. She was a character, and she's already well into her sixth drink. It looks like.
So I imagine, because I don't know the Mystery of Irma Vep, is it it moves very quickly.
It moves very quickly, and two people play about seven or eight characters, many times having conversations with yourself, playing whole scenes with yourself. The real magic of that show happens backstage. I mean, there are costume changes that happen, I think, in 7 seconds in that show, six or seven seconds. I think Brad had to change to go completely from female to male with a hump.
Did you say with a hump?
Yeah.
Okay.
He went from that look in the purple dress to a guy with weird teeth and a hump. Yeah. It's a fun show.
I have another one if I can figure out what I'm doing. It's all live, folks, all live.
I know, this is so fun. I'm like reliving. This is your life.
Here's another one.
Oh, yeah.
And there's Chris. And this is a Sherlock Holmes thing.
Yeah,
is this like a comedic adaptation? Or all I know is it says Hound of the Baskervilles.
Yeah, this is a comedic adaptation of the Hound of the Baskervilles. So it's interesting. This show... Baskervilles. This was also at Orlando Shakes, directed by Jim Helsinger. That's Simon Needham over there, and that's Stephen Lane. But this show was written and being workshopped at the same time as 39 Steps, and had all the same producers and everything working on it. And when it came time to choose which one to like send out into the world, they flipped a coin. And 39 Steps won. And so that's right. Why 39 Steps kind of has this amazing regional life. But it's really exciting because Hound of the Baskervilles is such a hoot, and it's starting to get really popular, which is exciting.
You know, every time I hear that phrase though, I think of the old Far Side cartoon, which is a bird in a cage, and he was dreaming about grand things. And he was dreaming of a story called Parakeet of the Baskervilles. And you'd have to see it. Let's put it that way.
Tell me
about Hello, which you did at the Fringe Festival up there, which is a one-man show that got incredible reviews.
Yeah. My fiance, Jean-Marc Jernigan, people might know here, he was in Free Fall's production of Assassins. He played John Hinckley, and then he was in Peter Pan, he played Smee when we did Peter Pan and Peter and Starcatcher and Rep. But he is a playwright, a wonderful playwright, if I might be so biased.
You're biased, yeah, okay.
He wrote a play called Hello, and I remember I was at work at Universal when he sent me the first scene from it, and it was a scene where I would play mother and nine-year-old self, my nine-year-old self and my mother, and I was just sobbing. I was reading it, and I was just sobbing, and I called him, and I said, the whole play can't be like this. Like, people will just be, you know, beside themselves. And I will never forget where I was when I read the whole thing from start to finish. And I called, and I know that this sounds so cheesy, but I literally called him and I said, thank you for writing this. This is something that people need to hear. And it's basically a play about the life-altering importance of just saying hello to somebody and how it can completely change or save somebody's life. But it's very funny. It's about a theater critic. I play a theater critic who is at a coffee shop, and he gets back to his table. He goes to use the restroom, and he comes back to his table, and his coffee cup is there with his name and a heart written on his coffee cup. And so he gets really excited, thinking that this handsome barista has drawn a heart on his coffee.
Right. Sure.
So he starts to decide whether or not he should say something like hello to this barista, and time stops, and you hear everything that happens in his mind in the split second that he decides whether or not to say hello. Yeah,
that sounds very cool.
It's really cool. I don't say lightly that it is probably the most impactful, special thing I've ever been a part of.
Why haven't you done it here yet?
There are plans. We're trying to make plans. We really want to. It deals with a lot of like mental health issues and things like that. So we're just waiting for the right time. We really want to do a production of it here in St. Pete.
Is that something that maybe Freefall would do?
I don't know. I don't know. We
have a little sway over there these days.
No? Yes, I'd like to think so. It's when you're putting together a season, it's all about creating the perfect combination of things.
Yeah.
And so it's trying to figure out where Hello would fit in what combination.
Well, you know, speaking as we were of. You know, one man shows, and that inevitably will lead to this, which Freefall did last year.
Yay!
Byron Seller. And this was my introduction to you. We'd never met before. And Amy and I both like totally flipped for this thing. I want to say we came to see it twice, but I can't remember. It feels like I lived it for a while. And
yeah.
Tell the folks at home about this show. And I can't remember the author's name. But
yeah,
maybe set it up for us a little bit.
Jonathan Tolens wrote this play. It's
the picture's killing me.
I know it's based on this book. He read Barbara Streisand's My Passion for Design.
Yeah.
Which, if you can get a hold of a copy, is fascinating to read through.
I'm sure.
It chronicles the building and the decoration of her home. In Malibu, and so the play is the fictional premise that an actor is hired to work in the shopping mall that's in her basement,
which really does exist.
The right? Shopping mall really does exist.
That's the key.
There is a photo tour of it in the book.
That part of it is true.
And that's so fun because at the beginning of the show, my character says, "Just so you know, this premise is preposterous. It could never happen." But some of it is true. The fact that she has a shopping mall in her basement is one of those things. Yeah. So I've actually done this show twice now. I did a production at Actors Playhouse in Miami before I did the Freefall one. So this show, I could do this show for years. It's such a joy. It's so much fun.
And folks who are watching this, if you didn't see it, you know, Chris becomes different characters in this show, but he becomes Barbara Streisand. And I almost bought it. I thought it was pretty funny.
I love it.
He's good, man. Do you ever, I just recently read, I think it was in Atlantic Monthly or something in the 70s, the guy who directed A Star Is Born, had written this like searing expose on how that film got made. And it was all about Barbara Streisand and how awfully hard she was to work with. And she, it was the John Peters days, you know, her hairdresser slash boyfriend. And it was scathing, you know. And I immediately flash back to this thing, you know, where she wants to buy her doll back from you, and she has a coupon.
Yeah, she haggles for that doll, Fifi. Yeah,
that was so great. So I have one more picture, if you'll allow me.
Of course, this is a joy.
Someday I'll get quicker than this. And you weren't in this one, but you directed it. And I was telling you before we went on that this was absolutely, to date, I've seen so many great things at Freefall, but this show, Assassins, absolutely knocked my socks off. And I see several people that I know now in this cast. I didn't know. Where is your fiance in this picture?
He's dead center, right down in the front, looking brooding.
Oh, with the hair.
In the brown, yeah. With the
Hinkley perfect hair.
With the perfect hair, yeah.
But this show, this is a Stephen Sondheim musical about all these notorious assassins and notorious murderers. John Wilkes Booth is essentially the star of the show, but you know, Squeaky Frum and Hinckley and these other guys whose names I can't remember right now, but you do. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting. It's a show about
and they sing.
Yeah, it's a musical.
It's feel good stuff.
About all of these presidential assassins or would-be attempted assassins who meet
Sarah Jane Moore, right?
Yeah, Sarah Jane Moore, Squeaky Frum, Czolgosz, Sam Bick, they come together in this kind of mind space where they try to convince Lee Harvey Oswald to shoot Kennedy because he will give them a name and give them a voice, their causes. And what's really interesting about this piece is that this really is a piece about human connection and how people just at their core want to be heard and understood. So that's what's really special about this piece. And we had, I mean, this cast was unbelievably good, and it was set in alley style.
My friends and I sat at a picnic table right in the middle.
Yes, yeah, we had the picnic alley table on stage that served as a part of the stage.
Yes, I told Marissa that Squeaky crawled right past me a few times.
I know, it was. I remember being in rehearsals for this and being like, man, this is gonna throw you all for a loop when there are people sitting here.
Oh yeah, I had just moved back to St. Petersburg and that was the first show I ever saw at Freefall. I think I've seen everything since then.
It was a special one.
Absolutely amazing. Well, thanks for that. Hey, I wanted to ask you, we're getting close to the end, as it were, here, but I wanted to ask about these things that you guys at Freefall are doing now to stay top of mind, the virtual things. This Sunday, Cocktails with Chris. Tell me about this.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Two weeks ago, I guess, Matt McGee did one where he talked about his favorite movies.
And oh, yeah, saw that. The movie one. Yeah.
We're just kind of starting. Different staff members are going to be appearing. Different Freefall artists will be appearing just to answer questions and just to talk with the community and about theater or about life or whatever over a cocktail.
Very cool. And is there more to it than that? We're having a cocktail and then you're going to take questions from people?
Assuming
people have questions, I want to know.
Yeah, it'll be a question and answer session. It'll be story time. It can kind of be whatever it turns into, which is what happened to Matt 2 weeks ago too. So.
Yeah. Will the pups make an appearance? Do you think?
I'm sure. They're sitting right here. They love being on camera. These two dogs.
You're also doing this National Theater Wednesday thing, which I think is very interesting. You've done a couple of them now. Is it just Eric or is it all of you or do you switch off?
It's all of us. Eric moderates it. I'm there, Matt's there, our resident dramaturg, Tim Saunders is there, who directed Byron Seller. He's there. But we when we were thinking about what to do programming wise during this downtime, as soon as the National said that they were going to start broadcasting their shows, we were like, well, we've got to seize on this incredible opportunity to talk about what makes this theater so incredible and the important the importance of theater before now and moving forward. Mm-hmm. So that's why we really leaned on this work from the National. You know, I mean, they've been so good to release these shows for our consumption. And if you've ever seen anything that the National has done, you are lucky because it is so good.
And these are Wednesdays you have mm-hmm. these talks. The show is generally up for about a week. This week it's the Danny Boyle Frankenstein, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Benedict Cumberbatch and the other fellow's name is what? Johnny Lee Miller.
Yes.
They switch off roles.
And they swap roles. Yeah. So I think the other version aired starting today. You can watch both versions. We'll talk about both versions on Wednesday too.
What time is it? 6 o'clock Wednesday?
6 o'clock PM. If you want to join in on the chat, watch the show, and then you can find the Zoom meeting information on our Facebook page, mm-hmm. or you can sign up on Free Falls Facebook page, or you can sign up for our mailing list, and you'll get an email reminder about it with all the Zoom information.
That's fascinating. One more thing before we go, though.
Yeah.
Oz, which Michael Robbie and Eric Davis are writing,
mm-hmm.
is still coming up.
Listen,
we're hoping and praying.
Yeah, we're hoping to make some pretty crucial decisions in the next few days. Kind of seeing how the governor's first opening rollouts are kind of going. But we will stick to the CDC recommendations. So we will make sure that we keep our performers safe. We'll make sure we keep our patrons safe. That's what's the most important to us. So yeah, we're gonna be making some decisions in the next couple of days. We have some very exciting titles on board for next season. That announcement is coming soon. There's a lot to talk about and a lot to think about over the next few days. And we just announced our COVID-19 recovery challenge. We had some incredible donors, Al May, Brian Rial, and Fred Wilcox, among some others, who gave us a matching challenge of up to $75,000. So that is now live on our Facebook on our website at freefalltheater.com. We've got a lot of exciting things going on.
It's going to be fantastic. I look forward to all of that and to seeing Oz as well. And hey, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I hope the Beverly Hillbillies didn't like make it. I'm not talking to this guy. That was too stupid.
No, I love it. I love it so much.
Well, listen, you take care, and we'll see you on the other side of all this.
Sounds good.
All right, my friend. I'm going to hit the stop recording button and the stop live on Facebook button, and we'll see you real soon, Chris.
Have a good one.